fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue to make our way through the first letter of Peter and some of the key themes that St. Peter gives to us and that are echoed by St. Paul and other letters in the New Testament, talking about laying hold of the great treasure we've been given in Christ. For those who've been baptized, they're just fundamental facts, realities, truths, things that Jesus Christ has accomplished in us and for us. He's given us things that are absolutely without price. They're just so glorious and amazing. And so the apostles try to often begin their letters exhorting us, helping us see, drawing a picture, giving praise to God for what we've received. In 1 Peter, we've been talking the last few days about Peter saying, you know, you've been chosen and destined by God. God himself has laid hold of your life, and he's chosen and destined you, the Father, your Father, and he sanctified you by his Holy Spirit, a people who were not sanctified, who were far from God, divided by God because of sin, enslaved to the world, the flesh, and the devil. All those powers have been broken. And through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his rising to the right hand of the Father, and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit now, something fundamentally new has happened in me and in everyone who's been baptized. The life of the future kingdom has begun. The beginning of the new creation has literally begun in my life. And the reality of what Peter's preaching here is my reality now. It's not just an idea. It's something Christ is accomplished and is accomplishing in me. He's begun this transformational work. He's the master. I'm the disciple. He's committed to the Father. The Father has called him to save and rescue the lost and to give them a capacity to break the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil over their lives. This is what Peter's saying. Look, you've been chosen. You've been destined. The destiny is to participate in what belongs to Jesus Christ. One of the most beautiful things St. Francis used to pray, very simple, and I think it's an important thing for us to take up because it's so easy to forget who we are and to completely miss the great treasure, the wealth of the glory and the wonder of what's been given to us. It's so easy to miss it almost completely, living in this world that ignores it and then tries to dominate our minds and our lives and our imagination and our emotions in the pursuit of money, in the pursuit of whatever, perpetual entertainment. We don't go deep enough to lay hold of this in a way that, as St. Peter was saying here, gird up your minds. That is, take action, be disciplined, be sober, be clear-headed. Fight for this truth that's been given to you so that you can live in it fully. Set your hope fully upon the grace we talked about yesterday. Peter's saying, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's the hope that you live for? Do you have hope in your heart? Hope is what Pope Benedict XVI said in his encyclical letter on hope. He said it's performative. It's not just informative. It transforms and changes us. If we're living with Christian hope and I've got that confidence and that conviction, I know who I am. I know where my life is headed. I want to be able to do whatever I can do on this earth to bring glory to God and to use the talents he gave me, but that's really secondary compared to what he's accomplished in me. That's the source of my life and joy. The gift that he's given me, a share in what belongs to him. The King of the universe at the right hand of the Father has thrown me a lifeline, and he's got me securely attached to that lifeline, and he's bringing me all the way home. And he's the one who has the power of life and death. He knows when he's going to call me home, but I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. St. Francis used to pray, Jesus, Father, who are you and who am I? Show me. Help me. Who are you, God? Friends, the world we live in is just constant, uninterrupted noise. It's a world on so many levels that is completely geared toward seducing us to live in our former way of life. Just the opposite of what the apostles exhort us to here. They're saying, put away your former way of life. No longer be conformed to this world. Don't yield to the corrupt, deceitful lust that used to dominate you. As St. Augustine said, I mentioned earlier, he said, you know, we're constantly tempted to scratch the itch, the sore of lust that's present. You know, covetousness, greed, power, influence. So after this exhortation to set our minds and hearts on what's coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation is he's everything who he said he was. It's glorified humanity. It's the human race born again, born anew into a new creation, the person of Jesus Christ, to live forever in complete glory, freedom, joy, you name it. It's in him. And that all authority belongs to him. Remember what St. Peter said in the Acts of the Apostles? He's talking to Cornelius, the first Gentile, to receive the gospel. He said, you know, we were commanded to preach, you know, repentance for the forgiveness of sins and to tell everyone that Jesus is the one that's coming to judge the living and the dead. All authority, all power belong to him. This is what was so alive in their hearts. Now, Peter goes on. He says, therefore, as obedient children, we're members of a family. We're children. He's not being condescending toward us. What he's saying is you're members of the family of God. You have a father. Christ is your elder brother. You have brothers and sisters that Jesus is bringing to life every day by the power of his Holy Spirit. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. It's a great line. Such an important exhortation. It's worth asking ourselves, where am I in relationship to the old man or the old woman, the fallen nature that I was a part of? You know, even when we're on the journey, one of the things we can be tempted to is to say, like the Israelites who were set free in Egypt and were wandering in the desert, at a certain point, they began to complain, we want to go back to Egypt. They forgot about the slavery. They didn't like the condition they were in, how hard it was to be sojourners and exiles, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, and they whined and they complained. And there's some of that that we can be tempted to do the same thing. I want to go back to my former way of life, even though you call it St. Peter ignorance. I want to give into my passions. I see people on television and the world around, people are just going for it. And why do I want some of that. I want a piece of that. I want some of the glory. I want some of the power. I want to be able to say yes to my lusts. I want to covet what doesn't belong to me, right? I want to go back. That's some of the former ignorance. And the former ignorance is rooted in the idea that a darkened mind doesn't even realize what I want to say yes to is inimical to my good. It's destructive of my person. It always, always, always leads to destruction. It leads to death. Sin is always destructive. The enemy loves to dress it up and make it look harmless. And it's easy to fall into temptation. But St. Peter's saying, be careful. Be clear-headed. Be disciplined. Help one another. Fight this fight. Don't go back to the way you used to live. I mean, think of the kind of attitudes, you know, many of us have come out of, right? That the point of life is to live for pleasure. My own pleasure, my own happiness, that's the goal. And what I need to do is acquire enough money and enough resources so that I can have the power to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I build the world, an ideal world is one in which I've got all these things built around me and I'm at the center. And I pursue what's going to make me happy on the level generally of pleasure. And we get trapped into consumerism and a life of uninterrupted entertainment. We begin to look at this world, not as the apostles talk about it, as a battlefield. I mean, read the New Testament, read the scripture. Look what happened to our master, to Jesus. And he said, what happened to me is going to happen to you. Don't be surprised by it. Don't think something's gone wrong. I mean, what you really should be concerned about is if you're not experiencing opposition in this world. If you're just floating along, Archbishop Fulton Sheen said at one point, you know, dead men float downstream. If we're just floating with the culture, if we're just, you know, not resisting and fighting and going against the current, we're going to be swept along. And one of those currents is the idea that life is a kind of pleasure cruise. It's a life of uninterrupted entertainment. The more you can have, the better. And it's all about me. It's just the opposite of what Jesus showed us on the cross. He said, here's what you're made for. You're not made for the pursuit of gold and glitz and glory and fame and pleasure, all of that. That's the fallen man. That's the temptation that's there. Don't be fooled by it. Jesus said, look at me. You're made for love. You're made for a love that's expressed in obedience to your Creator, to a loving Father. That's life. But we look at it and say, no. How can that be? Jesus, you're a naked, bleeding, broken Messiah on a cross. And I look at the masters of the universe in this world and their gigantic yachts and their multiple homes, and always the lights are always shining on them, and they seem to be, everybody wants to be like them. Contrast those two figures. Jesus said it's not easy for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it's so easy to be completely deluded about who we are. To use our power and our resources to gather around us sycophants and people who will genuflect to whatever we say. Yes, you're the best, you're the best, you're the greatest, you're amazing. And to hear that nonstop. And they say it because we're the cash cow that allows them to achieve what they want to achieve. So they'll say whatever. I mean, like Augustine said, when he was at a certain point, he was just disgusted with himself. You know, he was a great, really a king of rhetoric in so many ways, right? He was such an articulate man. And part of his job was at times to do something at major events, like for the emperor. He had to write up and give a presentation that would honor the emperor. And he said what he wrote out and what he was going to present was mostly lies, to say the emperor was something he's actually not. But he would do it eloquently. And he said the crazy thing, everybody else in the room also knew it was lies, but everybody would applaud and everybody would affirm it. They play the game because everybody's future in their mind is connected to the emperor. And so they have to go along with this game and this charade. And at a certain point, he just couldn't do it anymore because he knew who the king was and he knew what life was. That's the kind of example that Peter is giving here by saying, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Augustine was saying, I'm ignorant, I'm genuflecting to the world. Or as Pascal said, you know, you get to the point where you're like licking the dirt. I'm just going after the world and I'm its slave in some ways. Another thing we can do and be trapped in is the idea that somehow we can be gripped by fear that I'm not going to make it, that I need to be a somebody, that I need to be recognized. And then there's a great competition in me, a drive that people are competition for me. They're somehow not my enemy exactly, but a threat to my becoming everything I want to be. Life is a zero-sum game, and life's a big competition, and I got to get ahead of this guy and that guy, and I can't feel happy unless I'm ahead of people. Well, here's Jesus washing the feet. He says, if you want to be great, you want to know what greatness is? Don't be the first, be the last. The greatest among you should serve the rest. That's greatness. Friends, you can only do that when you get the big picture in mind, when you know who really rules everything and where your life is headed and what eternal life is going to be like. There's going to be no room in the kingdom for those who insist that I've got to be first, that everybody's a competition against me, because guess what? God will be a threat to your kingship. St. Peter said, by the power of the cross of Christ, all of those temptations have been broken in us, and we have to live now as the master lived, be conformed to him, and think differently about our lives. Friends, that's our call. Let's do it. Let's help each other. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.